session number 9428, reel 9.
Mr. Keel, Reel 9. You were describing your exit, I think, from the stage, playing The White Man.
And The White Man? Oh, yes. Well, did I tell you how it came about, my exit?
I think you just shot yourself.
That's right, yes. From behind this rock, I shot myself. And my father, the Indian chief, used to pick me up. And he used to carry me off all dingle-dangle and waving about, arms waving, and carrying me off stage. But I always kept one eye open because we had nearly every performance of that particular play. We had a lot of nurses used to come in from the hospital nearby, and I used to look at them because I was so tickled that the handkerchiefs were out and they were all weeping into their handkerchiefs at the death of this poor little Indian girl, which was me, and it used to tickle me as I was being carried off. But of course, no, I must have been a good actress, I suppose. Did I tell you at the same time, I had to, when I was the Indian girl, I had to make up as such. Well, you can't use, you can, but you don't use grease paint to make your skin dark. Have I mentioned it at all?
No.
You don't make your skin dark with that. We used to use, or they used to get from England for me, called Armenian Bowl, B-O-W-L. Armenian Bowl. It looked like curry powder or chocolate powder, and you just with a wet sponge, and you just wipe it over your white skin, and it leaves it all a lovely coffee colour, nice dark, which an Indian girl would be slightly dark. And after the show, of course, I'd have to wash, but this was flaming awful stuff, this Armenian bowl. You would wash yourself and you'd be clean, but within about a half hour, I don't know, it seemed to ooze out of your pores of the skin. Because I can remember one night, I always went into an Estaminet, a pub, after the show, and I remember standing at the bar with a couple of my other pals, and I could hear a couple of Tommies talking, and one evidently had been looking at my way, and I heard him say, "Hi, he ain't a bad-looking bloke, is he, for half caste? Not a bad-looking bloke for a half caste." It was me, of course. The bloody stuff had started oozing out of my pores. Yes, a bad-looking bloke for a half-caste. I can remember that, too.
Can you remember any other incidents that occurred whilst you were on stage in the concert party, either as Arras or indeed anywhere else?
Well, in the actual performance or offstage?
In the performance in particular.
No, I can't remember anything offstage. No, it was all well-rehearsed. Nothing would go wrong. Remember various incidents offstage or in the dressing room.
Well, perhaps we
Wally Hall, I told you, a very good comic, the one who used to pick up the cigar butt. He was a nice bloke, but bad-tempered. And he was always going to knock somebody's block off in the dressing room. Anybody upset him, "I'll knock your block off, and he'll do this and that." And it was really, it got nasty. And I guess I was in a bad mood one night, and he was saying, "I'll knock his block off. I'll do this." I said, "We're fed up with you knocking people's blocks. Hold this one." Thump. And I hit him smack in the face. And he staggered back about 6 yards. And there was a what we call a skip. It's a big square basket. And as he staggered back, it just caught his inside of his knees. And of course, his knees gave way and he fell in the basket. And the lid fell down and he was shut up inside the basket. Do you know, from then on, he had never, ever, off stage, going to knock anybody's block off. It absolutely cured him.
That was funny. Did you get on with him well after that?
Oh, we always did beforehand. But he couldn't. It gets boring, doesn't it? I'll knock your block off. I'll smash him up. I'll do this. I'll do that. Well, nothing ever happened. I thought, well, let's have a look, see what does happen if I do it. I was a fiery little so-and-so. Yeah. I mean, Air sur la Lys. We must have had some sort of a theatre there. It was a very nice place. And I was very friendly with the pub owner there, I was. And he had a lovely daughter, Yvonne. In fact, I named my daughter after her. But I was always a clean old gentleman. I used to kiss her and take her for little walks, but never anything funny with Yvonne. I was sitting in the one part of the pub with my boys, and there was a back door just by my seat, and some chap went out to the toilet, left the door open, and it was a cold night, and the bloody wind was blowing in this thing. I was mad at that, if I wasn't beforehand. Then when he came in, I said to him, "Hey, the door will shut if you pull it." He said, "You talking to me?" I said, "I am." I said, "The door will shut if you pull it." "Yeah, sir, I'll bash him." I didn't wait more, I just hit him. And I've never seen anything happen like it before. I must have hit him just under his nose, in his mouth, because his top lip swelled up and it was standing out further than his nose was. I hit him with such force that some of his pals stood up, going to make a fight of it. So all my pals, my concert party pals, they all stood up. But nothing happened, they all left. But I have never seen anybody's top lip come out such a bulge as that did. I was bad-tempered at times.
Mm-hmm. Did you get into any
fights? I think it was the war things of all those near misses, and I think it was all that that made me so aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, all that killing that I'd been through, I still wanted to kill.
Did you get into many fights with other soldiers?
Yes, Lance Corporal Strong, the wonderful actor. We always used to fight. I don't know why. Never hurt each other, but we'd wrestle and fight and thump at each other. I'd never remember him marking me, and I don't remember me marking him. But we would always fight. Strong.
What about?
Eh? Some silly thing. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what it was. Couldn't tell you.
Okay, can we perhaps return? I think this series of anecdotes started off by looking at backstage incidents.
Yes.
Can you think of any other backstage incidents? I think we mentioned one earlier on about a bottle of wine.
Yes, but I don't particularly. what can I say? I can't say who appealed it. Yeah, I don't see why not. Can I remember?
This was a theatre at Arras, I believe.
This was at Arras, yes. Naturally, you'd like a little drink while the show is on. And so we used to send out nearly every night for a bottle of Plonk, you know, a cheap white wine. And we all used to have a little drop of it and save the drop for when the show was finished. And every night for some time, we noticed that the bottle, instead of being half full, was about a third, a quarter full. We came to the conclusion, somebody, while we're on stage, is drinking our wine, which we didn't like. So somebody had got a dirty mind. I should think it was me. We said, well, we'll finish the wine off tomorrow night, but instead of leaving a little drop left over for whoever this is pinching it, we will all whittle in the bottle and put it back where we usually do. Which we did. And evidently, whoever it was must have had a swig at it and then spat it out because it was all on the floor, and the bottle was, well, less than a quarter full then, so he must have had a mouthful of our wee. We thought it was very funny. But never afterwards did our wine ever go down. So that was off stage.
You mentioned having a bottle of wine as a sort of relaxation. How else did the concert party relax? Was there regulations about how often you had to perform and how often you could go and relax?
No, it was a way of life. It was our That was our daily routine. It was our daily life. It was a show every night. Yes.
How many days a week would that be for?
Well, it depended where we were. Well, we would have to play every night. I'm certain of that. I can't remember having days off of nothing to do. No. No, we must have been playing somewhere. It must have been at Arras. And I say at Air sur l'Alice. We must have been playing somewhere there. But I can't see the theatre or anything. But it was a lovely little town, Air. But I can't remember where we were playing. But we were playing, because that's why we were in Air, was for the concert party. But I can't remember anything about Air.
What did you do to relax from the actual concert party itself, then?
Nothing. We played games. And I remember once we were invited to somewhere where we were. The concert party were invited to a football match. And I don't think any of us knew much about football. I knew nothing about football, except there were a lot of men rushing about, two sides. And it was a training, little training town where they were training everything. But there was a very regimental sergeant major there. And of course, we, as a concert party, we went a bit regimental, not even with our own officer. We would stand sometimes with our hands in our pockets talking to him, or a cap on the back of our head, or something like that. And this regimental sergeant major, well, he picked on me for one of them, and he said, "I'll put you in the house, go, and you'll stay for the next 6 months. Don't you know how to stand to attention when you're being addressed by an officer? Don't you know this?" He said, I'll do this. I said, "Well, sorry, Sergeant Major, but we're the concert party. And it doesn't matter who you are, but you can't do that. Not in my view. You can't stand and talk to an officer like that." Later on the day, he invited us to this football match. Well, I told you, we knew very little about it. I knew nothing about it. But I was determined to play because he was in the opposite side. And I knew nothing about it except that I had my eye on him all the time. And every time he got the ball, I was there. Pinched the ball from him, kick it anywhere, it didn't matter where. As long as he didn't have that ball, I didn't care. He was mad. He knew what I was doing, but I wouldn't let him have the ball. I was determined to spoil his match, which I did. Me again, the nasty little man.
What other recreations did you have?
Can't remember any other. No.
Did you yourself go and perhaps listen to music and that sort of thing?
No.
Or any other plays you could go and see?
No. No, there was nothing else to see. There was only one other concert party, and they didn't start until later on. And I can't remember their name, so I'll skip them for a moment.
So there was only one other concert party. That was the whole British Army. There were just two concert parties.
That's all in France. It was only the only two. There might have been, which we'd never heard of, there were little regimental concert parties, but not big time ones like us who could stage any sort of show. Yes, there were, because there were other concert parties around Arras. Things come back. At Arras, it's funny how these things come back. We played at night, but so that the theatre would be fully used, we used to show, or I say we, the army used to show films in the afternoon. And why I remember the films is that though 1914 films and before, in the film, girls being slightly naked, but not quite, the cinema operator, he used to know the spicy bits. So when the spicy bit comes, when a girl's got her leg sort of up in the air, he'd stop the machine so we could all have a jolly good look at her leg, and then the machine would go on again. And then, why I said there were other little concert parties, like little battalion concert parties, nearly all these girls, that's why I always hated playing girl, nearly all these girl parts, they were nearly all poofs, they were nearly all Nancys, because they used to come to our cinema shows in the afternoon, not every afternoon, but we could sit there and we could listen to them talking to each other. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, so on, so pansy bloody noises all the time, and we just hated them. That's how I knew there were other little concert parties round about Arras at that time.
You mentioned you always hated playing girls. It's the first time you've said that.
Well, I always... That was why I used to hate it, because all those sissy sort of sounds coming from them, I thought, oh, am I going to be lumped in as a sissy because I'm playing girl? And that's why I didn't like playing girl.
Did you get any reaction from playing the girl parts in the concert party from people perhaps not in the concert party itself,
no,
but elsewhere?
No. No, I didn't.
What about inside the concert party?
No, nobody ever... nothing like that. No, it was just... It was a job of work. The same as I said, before that war, when I doubled for pictures, when I doubled... I never saw anything about... anything being sissy about playing girl. It was a way of life. It was a living.
Hmm. Can you remember the reaction of the audiences that you played to, towards you in particular?
Well, as far as audiences went, there was nothing for them to see except us, and we were the cat's whiskers as far as they were concerned. They never imagined that in the war years and in France, where the war was going on, that they would ever see variety acts like we were. Consequently, the audiences were terrific. Not like they were when you were demobbed or before the war started. There, you'd get the bird for some of the things we did, but not in our concert party days. Perfect audiences.
Did they realise that you were, in fact, a man dressed up as a woman?
I don't know that they did. I think they, so many of them, like that colonel I told you.
Oh, could you tell us about that?
Well, yes, that was at Arras, I'm certain. Yes, it was. Some officers from one of the regiments evidently came to see our show and were telling the colonel back at headquarters, because he hadn't been to the show, they were telling him about the shows. And he said, oh, you should come, sir, and see the show. It's a very good one. Oh, I thought, I want to see a lot of soldiers dancing about on the stage. And they said, oh, not only soldiers dancing about the stage, so beautifully dressed, sir. And as a matter of fact, there's two very nice females there. And I said, I'd like to have a little bet with you, sir, that if you come to the show, we'd like to bet you that you couldn't pick out the real girl. Actually, one of them is a female impersonator and the other one is a girl. I would like to bet you 50 francs or whatever that you won't pick out the real girl of the two. Well, anyway, they kidded the colonel and he came, and all through the show, so I understand, he picked on the other girl, Dolly Clare, who was slightly much fatter than me, but had a natural soprano voice. And because of the voice, the colonel said, well, the voice, that is the girl, because of the voice. Not a very beautiful female, but a very nice singing voice. And it wasn't until the end of the show, when whatever I was doing, I had to appear in full evening dress as a girl with very low-cut evening dress. Well, to be very technical, on the... halfway down my chest, to be technical, I used to put a dark red line and then shade that line off so that the side of them were slightly pink and a little darker one down the centre. Well, it was just from a distance, it looked like the cleavage of a woman. And so the colonel apparently said, well, he said, I thought the fat one was the girl. He said, but if my memory serves me correct, it's the little blonde one is the female. So I had to go along to his barracks just to prove that I was just a lance corporal in the Middlesex Regiment. to his disgust. But anyway, my makeup must have been very good.
Was there any time that you ever played to a civilian audience?
I can only remember twice. They were the French civilians, and I know in my, when I can find them, I have two programs which tells you the dates and where we played. I believe they were both at Arras, or were they Bethune? I'm not sure until I can find these programs. But these French civilians hadn't any entertainment anywhere, and powers that be thought that the hard-trodden down French civilians were deserving of a show, and would we put a show on for them, which we did. And of course, they would understand the singing and the dancing. They wouldn't understand any patter. But as far as I can remember, they thoroughly enjoyed our efforts to amuse them. But they were the only twice that I can remember that the French civilians had a show from us.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps now we can look at your career in the Concert Party and when it comes to an end towards the end of the war.
Yeah.
Can you actually recall what you were doing when you first realised that perhaps the war was about to end?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, we got the same rumours that you had over here, not you personally, but we knew that Jerry's had had it, and that an armistice would be signed on the November the 11th, and we were in some little village somewhere, and 11 o'clock it was, and we all congregated in the village streets, waiting for the sirens to go, to say that is 11 o'clock and the war is finished. And some clever ones thought they would go a bit further, and they sent up rockets, or the rockets it would send for distress or whatever. But I so remember that Bert Stanley and I, Waterworth, my partner, we were standing in the street, and suddenly we heard it coming, zoom, crash, and it was one of these flaming rockets that had been fired, and the outer shell came down, and it just missed us. Had it hit our heads, we would have been brained. So we very nearly lost our lives on that last day of on the first day of the armistice.
Can you remember what your own reaction was to?
Oh yes, lovely to get back to England. So the only thing is, to get back to England wasn't as I was looking forward to it, but it wasn't going to be a happy one, because I went away leaving a family behind: my father, my two sisters. My father had a hotel at King's Cross, but in 1918 he died, and I couldn't get to England. No, they wouldn't give me leave. No, compassionately. He died. My other sister went to America, so she wasn't in England. My elder sister sold up my father's place, gave it away practically, and I had no home to go back to, and nowhere to go, and no family left. And but I was still looking forward to being in civil life.
Mm-hmm. And may I ask specifically, were there any celebrations that day on Armistice Day?
I don't think so. We probably went into an estaminet and had a whatever it was we drink, a white wine or whatever there was going. I don't know, we used to find different liqueurs sometimes we could find, but no, I can't say it was. I can't say there was any party throwing, like street parties. No, nothing like that at all.
No. Did the concert party organise any sort of little celebration?
No, not to my knowledge, no. We were all, I wonder when I should get demobbed. And they got demobbed in dribs and drabs. One day somebody would get a letter that you're up for demobilisation, and tomorrow or next day you will go to so-and-so, to the point where you will be sent to Boulogne and then on to England. And they gradually drifted away that way. And the last two left was Bert Waterworth, my comic pal. Well, say we joined up after the war for a long time. There was only he and I left.
How long are we talking about after the armistice now?
I couldn't tell you how long, but it didn't seem a great deal of time. I think the country was keen to get as many demobbed and back into civil life as they could, but I couldn't give you any time that it took a week or a month.
Was it still in 1918 we're talking about now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I think they were keen to get rid of everybody as quickly as they could.
You were, I think, about to recount a story of yourself and Bert Waterworth being the last two in the concert party.
Yes, well, we were the only two out of all those in the band. And everything. We were the last two, so we got all this gear and we said, what are we going to do with it? The army didn't seem to want it, or they didn't say they did, or nobody came about it. And so we said, well, let's have a jumble sale. So wherever this village was, we circulated amongst the civilians and asked them, do you want to buy a nice dress suit? Oh, yes. Or would you like some this? Or would you like some of that? Or curtains? And, oh, yes. So we had quite a jumble sale. And we sold nearly everything. And the last thing that was left was the piano, which was our own property. But nobody came to ask about it. So we found a buyer for the piano. And he was coming that afternoon to pay us for the piano. But somebody from the army came and said, we understand you've got a piano here belonging to the concert party. I said, oh, yes. Well, we're taking it away. We want it for the officer's mess, and so on. So they took the flaming piano away before I could sell it. That was very sad, because we would have probably got about 200 or 300 francs for that.
Did you have any duties after the armistice ended? I mean, the concert party sounded...
No. They gradually, as I say, dwindled away until there were just Bert and I left, and then our turn came, and away we went. But Bert and I met up again in civil life just after.
Can you remember the circumstances of your actual demob?
Well, yes, I can, because in the concert party, I was with it, what did I say, about a year, 18 months. We lived a decent life, clean. We could have baths and things, and I believe we had a lot of our own underwear. So we were clean. But when we got to Boulogne, the army said that everybody had got to be deloused and physical inspection to see if any diseases. Well, I tried to tell them. I said, I'm perfectly clean. I've been with the concert party. My clothes are clean and they are my own underneath. No, it doesn't matter. You've got inspection. So I paraded in front of the medical officer, stripped with just your boots on and your cap. And this geezer has got a small tooth comb, which, you know, he runs through your head hair and under your armpits and your hair there, and round by your private parts, the hair's there. Well, we were clean. We hadn't got anything there. But believe you me, in a couple of days' time, my private parts were absolutely lousy. This geezer must have left some old nits in his comb, and they'd taken root in my hair, and I was lousy again, as I was during the couple of years I was in the trenches. Oh, I always remember that.
And what was your reaction to that?
Then getting soaked because I was deficient of a waterproof sheet, which I mentioned right at the beginning of this interview. Waterproof sheet. I was deficient of that. I had to pay 7 and 6 pence for a new one, which they took away from me straight away. And at the beginning of the war, the first day of the war, when I went to Mill Hill, somebody pinched my waterproof sheet. So the first day in the army, I was deficient of a waterproof sheet and soaked 7 and 6 pence for it. The last day in the army at Boulogne, deficient of a waterproof sheet, soaked 7 and 6 pence. So that was it. And then we get to...
Can you remember what payoffs you were given there? Or
pay? Yes. I think the whole works of all those years and everything.